Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Tune in to TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are on the spinning blue planet. Welcome to Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, broadcast through Wolf Spirit Radio. And I don't want to put too much space between what you've just heard and our guest, because we're going to continue along. My guest tonight is someone who's been with me almost from the beginning of my radio shows. In fact, I think one of the first radio shows I did on Blog Talk, I think, had my guest. So without too much further ado, because we're going to be starting with the subject of time, Shari Edwards. Good evening, Shari. How are you?
I am great, and I love your picture. Is that a new icon? It just feels like you. It's sensitive but strong. There's a transition in your life that I'm going to ask you some questions about when we get to touch on that subject.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, so all about time, cycles, frequencies, vibrations. We've had many conversations over the years. We've been speaking about music and sound and medicine and magic and mathematics, all being essentially the same thing when you look at things from different angles. So what's new about time? Or what have you've been finding out new about time?
Well, in digging into math, and our math system is our time system at the same time, just a little different way of talking about it, I think I've stumbled upon another dimension of sentient being. And I don't have all the pieces yet, but I'm still working on it. But think about this idea that as we look at our body, and we've done articles about this, and I sent you one that I hope you post on your site, and it's about how the brain is a central processing unit of your body. And if we can go into the brain and look at it in terms of math and math signals to different parts of the body, and we know that math is very, very predictable. One and one is always two. I hope that's a true statement.
That's right. It's what I said also about geometry. It's like a right angle is always a right angle. You can, you know, you can't argue with it.
With the geometry of it. I'll add geometry to the list. But as we look at the body, and most of your listeners know that I run an institute where we look at people's vocal prints, and we look at the sour notes, which that's in music, but when we look at it in terms of the voice, it'll sound like a sour note, but when we look at it mathematically, it doesn't make sense. 4 and 4 is 32 or 81 or something. So we look at all the frequencies in the voice and how they fit together. And in thinking about math, you know, earthlings think that life forms are things that can procreate. Sentientness is heaped upon humans. Some sentient is heaped upon animals. But animals live by a different creed than humans do. We want to think that we are beyond the greed and power of the animal kingdom. We want to think that we are gracious and giving and truthful, and, you know, even animals lie to protect their young and their eggs and whatever. So as we look at the frequencies of the voice and begin to decode math. Now, math, I don't think, can procreate. But I'm convinced that math has emotion, or at least represents emotion. And the biggest thing that it is that humans are not is predictable. And other things that are predictable, water. And I think that's the crossover. Think of what Emoto's work does. You yell and scream in a glass of water and tell it you hate it, and it freezes and forms dark, ugly crystals because you hurt its feelings. And it shows that expression of emotion through freezing, which is very predictable for water. So think about a different sentient domain, the things that are predictable, and how they may be supporting us as life forms. Math, water, and I've got a lot of data about time. The certain times that people go to sleep or wake up or have to go to pee or whatever, in looking at those patterns, and time is, we regulate it, we look at it in math, but it really marches on whether we're watching it or not. I mean, it just keeps going. And there is a predictableness in time. And I think I've just stumbled on. I don't know all the answers, but I think I've stumbled on part of this as predictable, dimensional, sentient forms of being. It's even in our literature that you pointed up when we were talking before we went on, and the time being. Isn't that an awesome idea?
Yeah. Or I always use it as a joke, you know, what being is a time being, you know, we always say, what do you want to do for the time being? And, you know, it's a sort of verbal joke, but, what if, as you say, time is a being?
What time do you wake up in the morning?
Not in the morning.
But what time do you get up from sleep?
1, 2, 3, 4. Often. 12:34.
Kidding. That is an absolutely, that's the most magical number there is. I just looked at that the other day. Let me grab my stuff.
It's another joke, actually. I mean, it's like, what time does a musician get up? Which is, you know, they often go to bed late. And I'll wake up at, you know, 12:34, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It is iron. Do you have any issues with iron and blood circulation and the back? And we can look at the times when your body wakes you up as to what's going on. The other is the ankles that deal with iron. So we can look at the time of day that's important to you. I wake up at like 5:16. These magic numbers that go with each other. 11:22, 8:26, 6:28. If you start looking at those numbers, they represent your health. And I'm just real close to breaking the code of what it is, which would tell me that as times move on, it's giving you clues as to what's going on in your health and your body. So think about this, that we as humans just don't really have a handle even on our own health and what does our brain do and what does our heart do and what's our circulatory, we don't even know enough about that. And we've got these sentient entities, beings out there helping us put our life together, make sense of it. And we think we are so superior. when really we're absolutely being controlled, supported by these, I don't know what to call them, beings, entities, frames. But when I kick the code, when I finally figure it all out, I will certainly allow your audience to be the first to know.
So,
because I think they are probably the most loyal.
I mean, very long lasting. Here's the thing: if time is indicative of, you know, chemical imbalances, etc., and the time that you wake, so say I wake up at like 9:20 every morning. You know, and then I go back to sleep. I get up, you know, let the chickens out, go to the bathroom, and then I go back to sleep again. I've found that sleep is in like 4-hour cycles, 4-hour chunks. And apparently in the olden days, so they say, that, people used to, go to sleep for a while, then get up, do some stuff, and then go back to sleep again. What have you found about sleeping?
I like that. I sleep anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, and then I'm up and wide awake and with ideas. I wake up with these incredible ideas. When you're looking at 9:20 in the morning, that deals with inflammation. And the jaw, particularly teeth and jaw.
Interesting. Yeah. So how, okay. So on what basis do you get these meanings? Is that a common, I mean, are we talking like the Ayurvedic times of day, the Chinese medicine times of day, astrology, Or is it something that you've discovered by first principles?
It's by observation, number one, and the marriage of math and time. So I don't know really how to explain that. But when I'm looking at people, I wake up, I take my vocal print, I see what's going on. And if other people in the household are waking up at a particular time, especially if it's a magic time, like I think magic times are math times, like 10:10 or 10:20 or 9:27 or 8:26. So I have this whole list of these magic times. I am always astounded at the times that I wake up are really math principles. Like if I wake up at 12:25, 1, 2, 2 adds up to 5. So numerology is in here. So I'm studying the Hebrew holy books to try to find out how they look at math. And I think they're seeing the marriage there of math and emotions and the alphabet. I don't know if the alphabet is incredibly predictive because there's so many of them. So I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to look at it. I think God must have been a mathematician or something.
That's what Einstein said, isn't it?
I sent you an article about us being robots. Because think about the concept that if I can give you a frequency that will increase your oxygen, and it always increases your oxygen, then we've got predictability here of a frequency doing something to your body, like every time you turn on the starter, your car begins to rumble alive. There are things going on for me that shows that we are predictable, math-based, I don't want to say robots, but because the math is so predictable and the math can be correlated to emotions, there's a system there. And I think we have, as humans, have just begun to touch it.
Well, that's fascinating. And Would you like me to read this? Because it's only one page, and it'll give you a chance to have a sip of coffee or something, or whatever you drink that can't be discovered through your frequency analysis. do you remember that time I had a Chicago pizza before we did a show, and you reeled, you took my vocal print as I was talking, as just introducing you, and then you reeled off this whole list of these awful sounding chemicals that I'd taken on through eating that cheapo pizza. I don't eat pizzas anymore, by the way.
Because of that.
So, do you want me to, that's one of the reasons that I certainly don't eat these commercial ones, you know, I'd rather sort of make my own. Would you like me to read this for everybody?
I think it would make some things clear that I'm kind of stumbling around about.
Excellent. Well, okay, so here it is. Through music, we discover our origins. Sound is more than music, healing, and emotion. Albert Einstein said, everything in life is vibration. Frequency is the basis of our universe. We measure it, study it, quantify it, and use it to understand ourselves, our environment, our biochemistry, and our behaviors. But what if there were more to our origins? What if frequency, the measure of vibration, the basis of everything, is more than synthetic equations? What if maths is organic? If so, could we be considered math-based life forms? Sound can be explained in terms of frequency, musical notes, and is often described using frequency as cycles per second. In many cases, sound, music, and frequency facilitates healing. How and why can or does this happen? Our brain function is often measured in terms of frequency bands. Could the stimulation of frequency bands facilitate changes in the human body? Consider the brain as a central processing unit. Frequency-based signals are generated and have been determined to be a communication pathway traveling along our neural networks that self-monitor and keep our bodies in stasis. Frequency can be represented in terms of mathematical equations. Does this fact indicate that math could be a form of healing? If math can be proven to be a form of healing, does this indicate that math may be organic, or that we may just be sophisticated art forms that somebody or something created using mathematical algorithms? Can math be used as medicine? Shari is well on her way to proving that at our core we are very sophisticated math-based robots. She states that we can be managed through our individual frequency or energy-based signatures. She asks that we imagine a future in which we can be individually identified and maintained through the use of frequency-based biomarkers that keep us healthy and emotionally balanced. Her work at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology has shown that we can each have dominion over those frequencies by individual mind management or by a simple remote control that is completely programmable. Using the unique techniques of vocal profiling and evaluation, anomalous emotional as well as physiological issues can be revealed and resolved. Studies substantiate that human voice reveals that people who share similar traumas, stresses, diseases, toxicities, share similar, if not identical, vocal anomalies. The data brings together ancient knowledge with modern ideas of harmonics and frequency relationship theory to show that math can be used as a form of predictive, diagnostic, and curative foundations for wellness. Through entrainment of the frequency grids of the brain, the body can be programmed to support its own optimal form and function. The essential element is accurately identifying the appropriate significant frequencies associated with each individual. String theory proposes that infinitesimally small strings create our bodily structures, but doesn't answer the question of how this transformation occurs. The brain communicates using the language of frequency and has the ability to reveal individual DNA, RNA templates that have the potential to promote and extend life. Shari's work provides many of these answers as to how these theories can be put to use to bring the truth to the surface about who we are, how we got here, and where we are going in terms of our intention and health. Is frequency our new medicine or an ancient mystery revealed? There have only been a few modern keepers of the Holy Grail mysteries. Shari Edwards has been identified as one of the extraordinary beings walking the earth to bring forth the secrets kept from mankind. Her work has helped identify the hidden codes of life that add meaning and new dimensions to our existence. She will likely be best known for her ability to bridge the gap between the ancient, the esoteric, and the scientific realms of human evolution. There is truly more to learn about ourselves through music, sound, and frequency. Just thought I'd add that too. Bring us back to the now.
So, that was wild music. What do you think?
Well, gosh. Right. Let's take this paragraph by paragraph because this is like, there's a lot in here. Okay. So, obviously I've been dealing with a lot of conspiracy theories over the years. And, one of the ideas is that, that we have here is that we can be controlled using frequency as well as being healed. What would, is there a way to, mitigate that?
Absolutely there is. I was asked to do something, Sounds That Kill. And remember, was it, I don't remember, Costa Rica or someplace, that there were sounds being heard in a hotel room and people were feeling strange and oozy and didn't have balance, and some people died of heart attacks. And they sent me a copy, they being people I can't name, of this, and I evaluated it, and it's all about thickening of the blood. I just sent you a copy of it. Now, how can we help ourselves not listen to these external sounds? It's hard, but I've written an article about it. It's called about how to protect your body through going into an altered state and listening to the sound in your ears. Normally, we'd stick a microphone in front of your face and take this one section in time, 30 seconds. But there is a sound coming from your brain that protects you, that keeps you balanced all the time, perfectly for you. And you can train yourself to listen to it. In a lot of the religions, they train you to heal your body this way. So you can cup your hands over your ears and listen to the inside of your hands. You can do it with a cup or a pillow, and then listen to the next room, and then back to just right out of your ears. And there's a high-pitched sound that comes to you that is beyond normal hearing. If we heard that all the time, everybody would be complaining about tinnitus. But it's up around 60,000 cycles per second beyond normal hearing. But if you pay attention, you can hear it. And the best way, easiest way to find it is to get in a bathtub and put your head underwater, well, just your ears, not your whole head, and listen to the water, and then have somebody standing outside thumping or playing music or something so that you can find that ear focus. We have an ear focus just like we have an eye focus. And that little article that's on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, teaches you to find that focus. And if somebody is bombarding you with something, or you think they are, and they absolutely are by all of these towers and even electricity, which we are going to have a hard time dealing without, it gives you a no to be and causes circulatory problems, especially to sensitive people. So you can think about that. You can look at multicolored things. I love looking at the pressure. You put a little bit of pressure on your eyes, and there are all these colors that are in there. That'll help too. You can start relaxing your body from the toes or wherever you relax from, and that'll help you listen to the sound. But that can help protect you, unless it's going to be something like over 20,000 decibels that would really just totally wreck your hearing. But if you suspect that, Go learn that little lesson. JP, you're welcome to put that on your site for people to download.
I have just done so. And I'm just about
all right.
I just put it into the chat room that I've just done so. So while you were discussing that. So yeah, this is fascinating.
I think it's the way people heal themselves in the time before we came mechanical. The Aborigines still do this. I just read an incident that somebody was on a walkabout, somebody fell and green sticked their bone of their lower leg, which green stick means the bone sticking out the skin. And they sang it back into place. We, as a lot, are just lazy. So we do have a sound box that will put a bone back into place. And people who take our courses get to have the advantage of knowing about that. I have an exciting one that we just did, totally off the subject. We had a drug overdose, and we gave people the frequencies of Narcan. They were unconscious. And it worked in 1 minute and 14 seconds. Do you have this horrible problem with opioids over there?
Because
we do here.
Apparently not as bad as America. And you, yeah, there was a thing on one of your documents about opium and heroin, things like that. So do you want to talk about that?
Oh, well, that is about Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea that I've been asked several times to do his vocal print and to tell people how he will react in a certain situation. And Kim Jong-un has an issue with something called MOAA, monoamine. Boy, I wish I could remember the whole term of what that is. But it's a C, and he has this as a very unbalanced frequency. Now, MAOA is supposedly, and I sent you this bit of information, is the gene for narcissism and the gene for people who have no empathy whatsoever. And he has this gene in unbalance, which means it gets triggered by some things. And it gets triggered by antidepressive medication, Depranol. It gets triggered by heroin. I just sent my report over to the government about this, of how to keep him, how to keep him level so that he doesn't kick into this. Now, we have somebody else in our government that has exhibited this, and they do have this gene in several of their vocal prints. And some of the things you can look at, they have this bad boy personality. They're usually smokers. They do not show empathy, especially if they've been into heroin or opioids. So I'm wondering if these frequencies for Narcan can help these people who have this gene. And it's been held responsible for prisoners who have no empathy and for killing people or taking their money or, and I'm going to do a project on narcissism and see if that gene is involved, because there's a lot that you can do for a narcissist. If they are really born this way, you can't do much. You can keep heroin away from them, or Depranol, or retinoic acid. I've put a lot of the issues in the paper I'm writing about this. But those are genetic, and you can't do much about them. But if you see somebody that displays no empathy, then you probably have somebody that has this particular gene in stress. Is that enough information about that?
Is that a specific frequency? When you say there's a gene in stress, that represents a frequency in the acoustic range? Is it low, high?
It is a gene, and it can be triggered, and it's the note of C. And one of the notes that Obama has very high is the note of C. 42 is normal, and he has some up in the 700s. And the other is C sharp. and Obama has a lot of C sharp. And you can see sometimes when he just has no empathy. The kid that was beheaded, and there was another one that came back and was in a coma, and he got in front of the podium and, "I'm sorry about that," blah, 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 and then went back to play golf. Well, I evaluated that. And in that case, he was showing the proteins of that gene. The gene is the genetic part of it, and the protein is the activation part of it. So we're debating whether or not just to give this to the government. I think if we gave it to Big Pharma, they would do away with it, because usually the frequencies for Narcan to undo this were like $500. Now each Narcan is $4,500, and they're connecting that, collecting that from the government, usually because these drug addicts usually don't have insurance. So I'm wondering if we can blend that some way. You said you have people listen to our shows, and we did one recently on narcissism. I think the other kind of narcissist is a learned behavior, and that's what we did the article on and the radio show on, of how you can not just fight with a narcissist and stay even. And a narcissist is into control and greed, and there's three biggies. Power is the other one. And I see that a lot in our government. See a lot of narcissists in our government. They want to control you, but they don't want to be controlled. I'll give you an example. I have 49 years of experience with this. And this is a typical example. I asked my husband, "Could you tell me what time it is?" And he'll say, "Why do you need to know?" He wants to control the situation. He wants to know everything beforehand. And it's because I think he is insecure. He doesn't want to be trapped into something. He doesn't want me to say, "Well, it's time to do something." Here's another one, how to get around it. You think about this. We had a flat tire years and years ago, and we pulled into the Firestone station, and they were too busy to fix it, and so Bill's going to fix it. He knew the guy there. And I walked up to him, and I said, "How long is this going to take?" And boy, he jumped all over me. "It'll take as long as it takes." I thought, I didn't give him choice. Narcissists require choice. And so I went back a little bit later and I said, "Do you think I have time to walk over across the street to the mall by the time you get that fixed?" And he said, "Oh, sure, it'll just be 15 more minutes." See, I gave him choice. I gave him control. I gave him a reason I was asking. And that's what a narcissist wants. And that'll keep you level with them. But in the show, we gave you some ideas of how to teach a narcissist better communications, awaken them into what is going on. So if you haven't already played that, could we recommend that people go listen to it?
Oh, yes. If you go to Blog Talk Radio, it's in my current playlist, so it'll be playing until Wednesday anyway. So, yeah, just listen out. I'll probably play it tomorrow. Or after Frank's show, probably, tonight.
A good way to talk to a narcissist, to start them on a teaching role, is to say, "Do we need to talk about your need to control others?" Now, they'll either get mad and walk off, but if they're really interested in helping the relationship, they may eventually come back and talk to you. But three things in that radio show that I think are extremely important. One, if you are complaining all the time about how somebody treated you or what's going on in your life, complaints is the first indicator to you. And then move to keep your communication with that person that's hurting your feelings, and they'll pretend they don't know that they're hurting your feelings because they want what they want. They've never gotten out of that two-year-old it's for me stage. So descriptive, judgmental, and evaluative are three kinds of communication. And narcissists hate descriptive communication. They'll come back to you, they'll be silent or come back to you and really dig at you. And you do not have to answer them. You know, one, don't answer them. Well, why are you going there? You're answering to them. Well, why do you need to know where I'm going? Descriptive. Let's talk about, okay, I come to your house, JP, and I said, I'm really hungry. You have one of those pizzas around you were talking about? And you think, oh, you're so fat. Why do you want to eat? Or evaluative. I can't think of an evaluative one.
I don't have pizza, but I do have a salad.
Yes. Or you take on the idea that you need to feed me. You evaluate that I need you to fill my need. And the judgmental or the descriptive one is just, well, how long has it been since you ate anything, Sherry? 4 hours. Well, no longer. No wonder you're hungry. You just say very, very descriptive. But can I get personal for a minute?
With me? Yeah.
Yes. When we first met, there were things that we talked about in our relationships with other people, and there was complaints on your side that so-and-so did this or said that. And then there was an awakening in you where there was no longer complaints. You took charge. It's going to be this way, and I'm going to be fair and gentle and honest and truthful, but this is the way it's going to be. And your whole life changed. Your diet changed. Your demeanor changed. Was there something in your life that caused that? Can you pinpoint it?
Oh, God. I mean, it's an ongoing thing, Sherry, because like as soon as you find out one thing and you set that right, then there's another bunch of things that show up. And even today, there are things that are being brought to my attention one way or another that are, lacking in fairness. Or what did you say? Fairness, gentleness? He was saying. So, yeah. It feels like a constant emergence from the pit of victimhood. Because, you know, I do feel that, you know, that's essentially how where I came out of, you know, and that was the soil that I grew in, you know, my whole family are all victims, it's like, always complaining about everything. So that was how is what I learned.
And it's a peaceful life, a free life when you really look at why they're saying that. When they expect a fight, turn around and give them a lesson in communication. It's like, that really hurt my feelings. Was that your intention? Wait, you have to train them to listen to what you're saying and take it beyond just getting even and slapping them back. That's the way they have learned. So waking them up is a really important issue. If you think this is not a genetic or born one, and I really love the change in you. It happened, 3 or 4 years ago? There was this wonderful change in you from complaint to control or complaint to peace. How did you move around that, above it, however you got through it?
A good question. I wish I knew. Like I said, it seems to be an ongoing process. More and more, I am trying and doing what I can to be on top of it and to be to take the initiative in it. And a lot of the time it's not. A lot of the time it's still reactive, you know. I'm like that, am I? All right, well, I'll try and do better, you know. But
I accept that your opinion, but I don't agree to it. You could say that.
there are things that are like, oh, yeah, well, no, you've got a point. you know, I'm not perfect, but a long way from being perfect. And one of the reasons that I feel that it's good for me to do these shows is because, in a way, it's opening myself up so that other people can see that I'm not some magical, marvelous. I've got a voice, but I've still got communication issues. I've got and I've got emotional and personal issues that have resulted from trauma in my past. So it's about learning to heal myself and showing that it's possible to heal from these things. Is it possible to heal? You know, we've spoken many times about supposedly incurable things that, yeah, you can do it with frequency. Absolutely. Haven't you? You've done some amazing things with frequency. Like you were talking about the bone, healing a bone. I also remember you've helped to rebuild the kneecap.
Yes, but I'm not going to let you get off the subject for a minute.
Oh, no. You can talk about me again. No. But in terms of how, you know, there was a point that I did realize I can't be a victim about this. There's got to be something. It can't just be that person. You know, there's got to be something in me that's attracting this, that's making this reaction happen, da, 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 da. If, you know, it's not the most high moraled, reason. You know, maybe it's just for a quieter life, but at the same time, it's still, you know, having a better me is easier to be around for other people. The result of that may be a quieter life, but also the result of that is a better me. A better relation.
It gets rid of a lot of the drama. And I have this idea that if we were perfect, electrically, we're perfect and everything balanced, we'd spontaneously combust and we wouldn't be here. So the fact that you're here means you have issues to work on. But I need to inform you that I have no apples. Now, where would you go to get an apple?
The Apple Store. Sorry, couldn't help that one. Yeah, you go to a greengrocer.
Yeah, you wouldn't come to me to get your apples. You already know I don't have any. And I certainly don't have an overabundance. Okay, think of what's really going on with these people who are coming at you and they want your control and your power. That's what they want to take away and give to themselves.
And
so anybody that's coming at you that way already acknowledge that you are powerful and they want it. And if they can degrade you, that makes them more powerful. So accept the idea that anybody that's making you answer to them, oh, why are you eating this for breakfast? I mean, that's a little one. They want you to answer to them. They want your power. Think about that when they do it and practice never answering. Well, why do you have that for breakfast? Well, that's a strange question. Why do you need to know? Hand it right back to them. And you'll see your communications improve. And maybe they will learn how to talk in a way that brings them their own power. And then you're both, I think, I don't want to say better people, but better communicators with each other.
Well, you know, we're here to try and somehow make the world a better place than it was when we got here. I don't know how well our generation or our you know, the complete generations around us are doing at the moment, because it doesn't seem to be much better. And everybody's going, oh, I remember the 80s. They were much nicer. The 90s were pretty cool, but yeah, it's been really weird since then. So
think about givers and takers.
Mm-hmm.
And takers are into control and greed and power, and givers are into fairness and truth and freedom and honesty. Even our government is separating people that way. You do without so I can have, kind of thing. That greed and control, that's an animal power. And that's why I love it that you've got this lion up there, that leader of the jungle. But animals live by greed. They live by the strongest and the most powerful. And just to let people know, we're beyond that. We're caring. A lot of dogs are caring and have learned that transition. They lick their master's wounds. They do without for their puppies. So there's these transition animals that are learning human traits. And that's what that show is about that we did last Sunday. And I really thank you for putting that up, putting our shows up. I'm so honored by that.
Oh, you know, that's cool because your shows and information and conversations and the people that you have on are all very intelligent, and it's a solution-based thing. It's not about, isn't the government stupid? Aren't these terrible people? It's none of that. It's this is what we can do about that. And I love that.
I love the solutions. And what we're trying to do now is break the sound barriers of disease. And for many years, we have been doing one kind of publicity and marketing from the bottom up. And we are just starting to do from top down. There's some very enlightened people who know and listen to what we do, but Mayo Clinic has jumped on the bandwagon, MIT, Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, Sondé Health. There's so many of them that are following in our footsteps, and they're getting the credit. Like MIT just got $1.8 billion to put vocal profiling on all military bases. So we have taken the stance, like this 100th monkey, you start with putting everything out to the people. And I did that out of fear that if I could teach this to people, everybody, they couldn't kill it. They couldn't come from top down and say, well, this is really medicine and you can't do it. This is national security and you can't have it and we're confiscating everything. So that's why we have gone for so many years where we teach 10 people a month how to do this, how to use the frequencies and the formulas. And we're up to 10 or 12,000 in the last 10 years or so. So it's not going to die if the government comes and takes it. It's not going to die if I die, but it is time to lay claim. It is time to show that we're the ones that started with this idea of breaking the sound barriers of disease, which means frequency and sound and music. But at the same time, math as medicine has really taken me to other dimensions that I want to study about and share with people.
Other dimensions. We're going to be taking a break in a few minutes, and we may be entering the other dimension with you, with that. It's amazing how it's just moved from, we've just gone through this 1 hour so quickly. Time flies when you're having fun. In the next few minutes before the break, do you want to talk a little bit about our perception of time and frequency?
Well, we can distort time or the perceptions of time so people can get more done, and we have tested that. And I think that's going to be a tremendous boon to people or not. They may just want to relax and not do anything. But the fact that we can distort people's perceptions of time, and I've been using it for years. I'll sit down to write an article, and I'll put the sound on, and they'll seem to me, oh, that was like 4 or 5 hours it took me to write that, and you look up at the clock and 10 minutes went by. And it's just an amazing issue of what we can, I don't want to say control, I want to say we can provide dominion for people, even about their own emotions and poisons and toxins and genes. And I just find it incredible that it led me to this idea about math-based robots. And from there into interdimensional thinking that's been with our religions for many, many years. And we've been doing it, I think, for 31 years. And it comes from my ears and my voice just being mutated. But I think we did that to ourselves by too much noise pollution, by not paying attention to the inner self. So that's where we want to go back to. We just were part of the A4M conference, which is the Academy, American Academy for Anti-Aging Medicine. It's one of these big prestigious things. And they just presented our information. It's like a major breakthrough. And I think I've talked about the case of Dr. Russ Rudy, who came to us and they said he had MS. He really didn't. He had an injury to his spine. The computer told us. And with this math now, the computer can tell us what is going on. So I hope next hour or so we can talk about that and what people can get from it, because we've put it up online for people to do on their own, and it is free.
That is the best part of it all. Listen, this hour, so loads of these, this hour's literally flown. Can you slow the next one down, please? I don't know how we're going to do it. It's going to have some terrible news or something like that. I don't know. Here's another thing about time. This is from Nick Drake, and it's called Time Has Told Me.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And you're listening to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. And my guest tonight is Shari Edwards. We've been talking time, and now we're going to try and slow it down and make this hour last a bit longer. I don't know how we're going to do that. It's probably going to whack by even faster. What do you think?
I will put the frequency on so we can have more time.
Stretch it out. So, now you sent me some documents, and one of them was the A4M thing. Is there anything you want to discuss with that?
Well, that's the one where Russ Rudy, who's an MD, came to us at the center and said, they sent me home to die. They said, I have MS. And they implanted a pain medication in his body cavity to give him pain medication all around. And I looked at the computer, and the computer says he does not have MS, because we had a big database of people who had MS, and he just didn't fit in there. And I said, I think you have an injury to your spine. And he said, yeah, no, that didn't happen. And so he remembered it finally after a couple of weeks, but we started giving him the frequencies that the computer said he needed based on his vocal print. And his nerves regrew from his waist down to his feet. He is back to work. He's doing fine. They took out the baclofen pump, which they usually do at autopsy. And we have all of the data in the lab reports showing recruitment, what they call recruitment of nerves. This is totally impossible, so they're just calling it a miracle. But it happened, and we started working with other people who had MS that just interested me. And we had a very recent case. This is a girl who came to work for us, and she has MS, and it, when she has an attack of MS, because it's intermittent for her, it attacks her right eye so that everything's fuzzy and white and whited out and no color. And I said, no matter what time this happens, you call me and I'll meet you at the office and we'll do this. So I don't know if she believed or not, but it was about 9:30 at night and she told me she knew an attack was coming on. We caught it and it was an early D sharp and it's the frequency for opsin, which is something that eyes work with color and several other things too, because bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. So we were able, I think it was the third sound it took, and within a minute or so, it cleared up her vision, brought back her color vision, and we have a statement from her ophthalmologist, that's what you call him, that her vision is back, and it's usually takes 3 to 6 months for eye to heal again. We've also found frequencies to get rid of the scarring that's already on the eye. We have a program called Astrocytes that helps with the scarring. But we've created all of this so we can hand it over to the people because that's where it belongs. So we now have a site online called Sound Health Portal, like portal, like interdimensional portals, that people can go on. We have about 200 templates there from coughing to Zika virus. For instance, we try to do things that the government or medicine doesn't help with. We just did a big project with fibromyalgia. We have discovered why fibromyalgia happens, and you can go on our site and just look up the word fibromyalgia and it'll take you to some videos showing what we're able to do. But when the California fires happened and people were coughing and they couldn't breathe, we immediately dug into that, got some people who were having the problem, created a template, and that template is up on the site and it gives you relationships to nutrients that might help based on your individual vocal print. The other one, two or three that we're doing, PTSD. A lot of these people lost their homes, lost their animals. So we put up PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, for them to help them through that nutritionally to see what they needed because they were in so much stress. A Gardasil is up. For those people who've been injured or they're thinking about getting Gardasil shots, which there's so much information out showing that really is an infertility issue. And we have looked at the frequencies of the Gardasil shots, and most of the frequencies of a Gardasil vaccine relate back to gonadotropin that keeps you pregnant, progesterone, estrogen. It relates back. Somebody's using this frequency stuff covertly because this year the flu vaccines, one created it and another got rid of it, and they were just cross-wired. So no matter what you did by frequency, you were going to get the flu. And I had to create a whole new way to look at things. So this idea that this Gardasil vaccine had frequencies in it that would cause an abortion and cause infertility really was troublesome to me. And we're getting a lot of people in the clinic who are infertile that we can take back to the Gardasil vaccine. So if you've had it, you can go on and get yourself tested, and it's free. The other one we have up is neuroplasticity, nutrients for your brain, because I think a lot of toxins and GMOs and things are really being designed, fluoride, to dumb us down. So you can look at what your brain needs. I am not sure what else is up there right now, but we try to keep six at all times. Oh, I just remembered the other two, are nutrition and muscles. So if you want to know what nutrition you need every day, if you've got joint pain and you can go on and find out that you can't use silicone or something. So it gives you the nutrients that you need for the day. Right now it's on computer, but it's going to be in people's homes very shortly, that you go home and you say, okay, wall, what do I need? Oh, I need some vitamin A. Make me some carrot soup. It's going to be all automated. And we are very, very short of teachers and trainers and people to help us go out into the communities and teach people about this. And we're doing it for free, the two-day course, just to see to get your feet wet. The two-day course is free, and the software is free. So if you want to join us, Sound Health
Portal
Options. Well, the portal.
So tell us about the portal and what you can do. Because, again, I don't want to short-circuit you, but you want more people. We need more people who can do this stuff. One of our regular listeners is a student of yours as well, and she has a lot to contribute. So the more you learn about this stuff, the more I feel that the more broad your experience gets. Now, just going back to what you were saying, I remember years ago you were talking about Gardasil. You've been talking about it for at least 10 years, long before it's kind of come into the public eye. And I remember you saying, why would anybody want to do this in a very innocent way? And I was thinking, obviously she's not heard about Agenda 21. The depopulation agenda.
Absolutely. And we've done several people, Gates for one, about talking about depopulation and what they really mean. But on the portal, there's tutorials. You can do this all on your own. There's a textbook, or you can set in class online. You can come to Ohio and set in class for real. We're trying to make it easy for people for the portal. And you can apprentice and technician and then professional, and there's a doctor course. So if you want to be research, then come and do it online with us and get all the basics. If you're a doctor and you don't have much time, the portal will just spit out the answers for you and what you need to do. Does the person that has taken the course, do they want to add anything to this conversation?
I'm not sure if she's online. I mean, let me just check the chat room. I can only do it when I'm not. I can do that switch. I've got a mute button that I'm holding to speak, but now I've done that. No, she's not here tonight. But she'll probably be listening to the archive. So hi, Susan.
One of the things in England that we want to work on is Lewy proteins. There seems to be an epidemic of Lewy proteins. It's like Alzheimer's, but a little different in that it attacks your muscles and your muscle coordination. And we did a study with this with Robin Williams. And when he died or committed suicide, the next day I was on an international radio show and I said, we've done his voice already. It's dementia. This was not depression. And all they just, that's not true, Sherry. And the next day his widow announced that he had dementia. And we had already announced that it was either Parkinson's or Lewy proteins. And when they did an autopsy, and he died in August, when they did an autopsy in November, because that's how you find it in an autopsy, they said, yes, he had dementia. And then in March of the next year, they said it was Lewy proteins. So we have the whole database for that already done. And we also have the frequencies and the little frequency tone boxes that help people walk again and taste again and be able to smell. And some of it starts with just slow reactions. You send a signal to your body, and it doesn't do what it ought to do right away. That paper about Robin Williams is also on our site. I think it says Robin Williams with graphs. And when we sent that to Robin Williams' people, they wouldn't give us the time of day. Now, we just did one. It was published in the Globe. I can't remember the date, but it was about Elton John. I sent you that one, too. And that he said he's not going to go on tour anymore. And we did his voice. And there's a muscle deterioration issue going on. And the people who picked it up in the Globe and printed it didn't print it exactly how we wrote it on our site. So you can get the real stuff on our site. And it looks like it's myasthenia gravis. And they asked us what that was like. And I said, well, it's kind of like Parkinson's, but it attacks the hands and the throat. And when you look at his stuff, you can see that the cause was either heroin or cocaine. But we put his graph up and showed exactly where the root cause was. Now, I need his people to get in touch with us because I think we can undo it. We've undone it with even people who had severed nerves. So why couldn't we do it with him? And why couldn't we do it with people who have MS? We did it with Jolene, who is the girl that got her vision back. Nobody believes this. It's kind of like Star Trek medicine. So that's why we're starting this campaign of writing articles, getting them placed, talking to people, getting groups together. Now, if you get a PTSD group together, I'll do a course for them for free and give them the software, or a Lewy protein group, or an MS group. We'll do it online. We'll do it live. We'll give them the software. We'll get this information to people so that we don't have to be under the thumb of groups that put their stockholders before our health. That's my soapbox for the day.
Okay. All right. So on another, and yeah, be great. I mean, Elton John's hands and his hands and his voice, his throat, that's his living, isn't it? If he, you know,
yes.
If he loses control over that. So I have another, you know, I have lots of weird theories about things. And, one of my weird theories is that there are two Donald Trumps. That there's
Good.
One of them is as like a CIA spook, you know, who's been possibly, surgically modified slightly and wears a little bit of orange makeup and things like that. And that there's one that wears the red tie and he does these big open, big speeches, you know, the big, what's that word? Inspirational speeches, presidential stuff. And then there's the other guy who does the more quiet, indoor speeches, like, you know, to the CIA and all the government agencies. He's the manager, if you like. So have you ever found discrepancies in Donald Trump? Oh, that's the other one. Do you remember when he was campaigning and he would say things like, Donald Trump would never do that? That's because it wasn't Donald Trump who was actually speaking.
I've never looked at that. I looked at his health and he has cholesterol issues and he's on statins. We put that out, but I've never looked at it as, these are two different people. When next time you notice that, send me the WAVE files, and I'll certainly jump on them.
Yeah,
but, you know, people can do this on their own. They can totally do it on their own. There is a computer program. Your voice looks pretty much the same most of the time. So there's a little nano voice, N-A-N-O voice, that they can download from our site. It's on, under downloads. There's videos there, too, to teach you how to use it. But they can check this out on their own. We encourage people to join what we call the Guardian, Guardian Party, Guardians of the People. And we do projects there. And that'd be one that I'd take on if we could look at it.
So there's something to look at because, you know, his outdoor speeches basically, look at, you know, see if you can see a difference between red tie Trump. He wears a red tie. Red tie is real Trump, RT, and blue tie is bogus Trump, BT, you see. So it's easy to remember. And, you know, you can look carefully at his you know, he's obviously well trained, and perhaps the other guy is you know, like most politicians in the past have had doubles. We know that Gaddafi and Hitler and Monty, you know, Field Marshal Montgomery, probably Churchill, all had body doubles because, and we know that Putin has doubles as well. You ever done Putin?
I can't remember if I have. Let me look on my computer. Well, you're talking about something
Vladimir
else here.
Vladimir Putin, yes. So the idea that a very, very rich man might have attempts on his life, and apparently he has had several attempts on his life so far during the presidency, might have somebody who is, you know, a CIA guy or a FBI or whatever, a spook of some kind, who is actually bought, paid for, and treated. He probably gets the time of his life, really. But we know that there are like tweets that come out of Trump that have different time zones when they come out. You know, so like one's tweeting from the West Coast, one's tweeting from the East Coast.
It will certainly explain what seems to be boundless energy from him and the things that he gets done. Okay, I have Putin and a plane crash, Putin in Syria, Obama and Putin. What would you like to, Putin about U.S. policies?
Yeah, and also Putin and Obama.
You want to hear
I'm sure,
about
I'm
that
sure
one.
Obama had a double as well.
Absolutely. You can look at some of the slight differences, but they do have some things that are alike. They're both intellectual and emotional, but they keep those two totally separated. Putin has a big control issue, and he has naive issues about spirituality and his own worth. And he also has fantasy issues. Let me see where they come from. From the self approval. That's one of his biggies. But it's going to be his way. But he has a big separation between emotions and intellect, and so does Obama.
That's very interesting because it's only recently come out that Putin is an Orthodox Christian, which...
Wow.
Which is a certain kind of, you know, naivete, but he's held that secret all through his KGB years. You know, getting to the top, he never told anybody. So that
wow.
might, you know, he may have like pushed that out of his consciousness in order to get to where he did.
Well, these are on our website. Can I read this piece?
Please.
The vocal prints of these two men are very similar. Both speak from an intellectual perspective. Obama spouts words that he knows are untrue. Putin has few words but believes he is spiritually justified in his actions and should have no need to explain. Obama shows that he wants to help through words. Putin shows support through actions. Obama has a slightly larger ego. Putin has a better emotional perspective about how to go about moving his plans forward. Putin lacks communication through words. His power is through his actions. They have similar needs for justice, and in both men, it is going to be their own sense of justice, no matter who else is involved. Those are the kinds of things that we can teach anybody to do with their kids, their teachers, their government officials, and we put these out all the time about who's telling the truth and who isn't. You want to know who in government has told the truth, the highest level of truth all along? I bet you can guess.
Highest level of truth all along? Yeah, but in terms, who have we got to choose from? Obama, Hillary. Sorry, I love Obama and Trump and Putin. Are there more choices?
They all are. Well, Hillary and Obama are fibbers, and we did Benghazi on them. We did going through the elections. with them. They're both going to say whatever they need to say. They both have this a narcissistic gene going on. But of all the politicians, the 100% absolute truth has come from Ron Paul.
Very well done, Vanessa. She put it there in the chat room there, Ron Paul. Yeah, I'd say. Although he's got a son, hasn't he, who's like very politician-like.
Yeah, Rand Paul, he's not as truthful, and he has his own agenda, and he's not willing to negotiate. I'm talking about Rand Paul now. The other really truthful person is Gwen Olson, an incredible woman who worked for the pharmaceutical industry, made lots and lots of money, and they decided to put her in charge. And the very first thing they said to her, your job is to tell doctors they have to get children on vaccines as soon as possible, because the first vaccine will guarantee that we have a customer for life. She flipped a switch in her head, and it was just disgusting to her. So she wrote a book about confessions of a prescription drug pusher, and she told it all. And she's one of the most truthful people, right up there with Ron Paul. So if you ever get a chance to have her on the floor, listen to her. The other very truthful person is Barbara Lowe Fisher, who is with the National Vaccine Information Center. And with this little program, this little nano voice that you can download from our site, you can tell who's lying and who's not. Lying means very scattered vocal print. You can look at it in columns. You can look at it in numbers. And if everything is scattered all over the place, they're scattered. If E and A sharp doesn't match, they're not telling you the truth. They can download this. Grab this off of our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to downloads and go to nano voice. There's a big chart there that'll tell them what each of these notes mean. But somebody with high D is going to tell you how to do something, and they're not going to take no for an answer. Somebody with high E is going to run over you with words. High C sharp, they're going to run over you with the law and things of truth and justice. So you can put all these pieces together. I think we have 647 videos. You want to hear something just really blows my mind? We have 1.4K followers on YouTube. Doesn't that just blow your mind?
You need 1,400K.
Is it 14?
I would love it if you had 1,400,000 listeners. You know, that's who you need. You need more listeners. You need more people out there who know this stuff, because it's to me, this is the medicine and the healing and the... And as you say, it's the diagnostic tool of the future, just from the voice. There's nothing else like it.
When the doctor says to you, go home, there's nothing we can do, or here's 25 medications and you need to take them, and they make you sicker than you started, it's called self-health. And I do that in capitals everywhere. We can look at predictive things like we did with Robin Williams years ahead of time. We can look at things like Elton John and we can help him reverse that. There is so many tools and solutions that we can give people so that they don't have to be under the control and the greed of people who are willing to sacrifice people's health, like give these kids a vaccination the very first day of life so we can have a customer for life. Is there a word that worse than despicable?
Despicable, disgusting, lots of dis words. There's no goodness in it. There's no healing or health about it. There's no beneficent intent behind it. It's just literally, you know, for profit.
Would you rather have money or your health?
I got no choice. My health is quite good. I ain't got any money though.
Well, think about these companies. They don't care about your health. They care about the money. So we just need to put this additional system together and get it to the people wherever they are. And that's why I'm offering to give it away for free, and I'm offering to go do shows for free. Can I afford that? Absolutely not. But does it need to be done? Absolutely. Think about Star Trek, and Picard goes up to the, what do they call it? Not the transporter, the other thing.
The replicator.
Earl Grey.
Earl Grey Hoff.
Yes. And he doesn't pay for it. It just appears. I want our world to be that way. I don't know how to get it there except about health, that I'm willing to share whatever I know and whatever I learn. And if there are people who can help us get this Narcan frequency on the market, can help us get this to different organizations, vaccines. We're doing allergies for the month of April. Allergies and how that relates to autism. And we found a relationship with a very specific number. And when I read you this thing about what this number does, you're going to say, well, that's everything about autism.
Okay, and let's get the, what's the number? What's the number?
I can't give you the number. I can tell you that it's a note right between C and D. But if I give you the number, somebody's going to go out and put it in a Rife machine or hurt somebody or, but it correlates to ACTH. So, that it governs adrenaline, vitamin A, glutathione, dopamine, decarboxylase, melanocyte stimulating hormone, succinic dehydrogenase, energy stuff, metallothionein, which helps detox the body, vertebrae, muscles, hyaluronic acid for joints, insulin receptor, neck muscles. A lot of these kids have weak necks. I go down through here, and it is the frequency of hematoglutinin. Do you have any idea what hematoglutinin is?
Hemata, iron, glutinin, wheat. No, iron with gluten in it. It's as a pizza.
H-E-M-A-G-G-L-U-T-I-N-I-N. It is what seeds make to not allow the outside of the seed to be digested by animals. So when the animals poop, then the seed's whole and it grows a new flower or whatever. So here's this hematoglutinin. Most people are familiar with this. When they eat corn, it goes through whole. But the hematoglutinin, they've gotten the idea that if they put this in vaccines, it will adhere to the cell wall more tightly so the body can't get rid of this foreign material. And this frequency for hematoglutinin, and remember I said frequency is on, one frequency is almost 20 correlates. This is 79 correlates, but it messes with phosphatidyl choline and elastin and potassium, pentothenic acid, brain chemicals. I'm going to put this list out. I'll send you the list. I'll have to take away the frequency, but I'll certainly send you the list of what's going on with it. But look at the vaccines. Hematoglutinin, or some other word for hematoglutinin, is in there. And they're deliberately making this stuff adhere to your body so it can't get out. I'll give you a really good example. Tetanus. They give you a tetanus shot. And if your body can't use it, and we've found out that it can't use, these vaccines can't be used if you don't have quercetin, which is a like a flavonoid. I have people eat the inside peel of a grapefruit. But if your body can't use it, it lays down on the little toe side of your foot, because hematoglutinin is the same frequency, or the tetanus, I'm sorry. The tetanus is the same frequency as this little toe muscle. When a toxin comes into the body, it lays itself down, if the body doesn't get rid of it, where it's most compatible. And DDT, lays down on the stomach. So if you've got all of this stuff in the body that it can't get rid of, it'll lay down in the stomach. Glyphosate, the GMO, lays down in the liver and makes a fatty liver so that you're getting diabetes. The liver's not working correctly. So again, we're right back to that math. The body has all of these math relationships. And you can go on our site and look at some of these. We have charts of the muscles and stuff and what nutrients go with what muscle. And they're all over our videos too. So in trying to educate people, I think what we really go back to is in the beginning, people knew this. They knew if your ankle hurt, then you had a problem with iron. And somewhere we forgot all that knowledge. And deciphering all this math is just bringing it back. And that's what we want to share with people.
That's very interesting. There's another link as well, which is astrology.
Yes.
For instance, if somebody, you know, somebody would complain to me, oh, my right ankle hurts. I would say, oh, do you know a male Aquarian? Because Aquarius rules the ankle and right-hand side is male. And they'll often go, oh, well, yeah, actually, that's my brother or that's my father. And yeah, and do you have a problem with that guy? Yeah, right now I got the, and it, there does seem to be quite a strong correlation. So there's that layer, but then it goes deeper, like you say, that it goes down to the nutrients. So do we get nutrients in frequency from other people? How about
Boy,
that?
Boy, what a great question. I think we do. I'm debating which story to go with here to illustrate that. When my father-in-law died, he was a note of D. And when he died, my husband had always had an overabundance of D. But in the week that he died, all of his notes of D disappeared. And we'd been married for like 35 years at that point, and I couldn't stand to be in the same room with him. I couldn't stand for him to say hello to me. He had no D, and he'd always been supplying it. We had this very needy relationship. But we brought over one of our grandkids that was the note of D, and then we came very compatible with each other. But that D gives you the hormones and the ability to digest foods and liver. Doesn't that represent fear in somebody's system?
And anger as well?
Anger and fear? Yeah. The other thing, we've run...
But the idea of D... because this is something that you mentioned before, in that D is commandingness, you were saying before.
Yes.
So yeah. There's this, so did your husband, you know, on the physical plane become overly bossy and I couldn't stand that anymore?
He's always been that way. I just learned to live with it, and how to move through his moods, but it was very upsetting to him from his voice perspective, but you couldn't tell that there was a thing wrong with him. His emotions didn't show it at all. Only his vocal print showed that lack of D. And that's like orange and turquoise. You know, there's color, there's astrology, there's music, there's smell, there's hearing, there's touch. It all can be broken down into frequency. Our entire universe can be broken down into frequency. The other thing that we did is we charge water with frequency. And we've been able to look at it, test their iron, and then charge the water with iron, give them the water, test again, and the frequency of iron will be there. And we've been able to change pH of water using frequency. So here again, water, is it alive? Is it take on the frequency? Does it become that correlate? I think people can heal themselves quicker if they take the nutrients or the herb or the food. But if there needs to be a breakthrough so the body can use that frequency, somehow it got shut down. There's a video, Good Vibrations, on our site. It's about a little girl, a doctor referral. She came to us with a failure to thrive. And we looked at her vocal print, and everything that was high in her chart was growth hormones. So if they'd have taken a test and thought, well, growth hormones are really high, it's not that. But what we did was give her the frequency of the growth hormones so that they could be utilized, so her body could recognize it. And that's what it took. And there's a lot of times when things are just way overabundant, and all those directions come out from the portal when you can, you go do your own. It'll tell you if it's too high, it could be this or that. But things that are too high, the body doesn't recognize it, doesn't know what to do with it. Like if I gave you a glibbledy-dorp, would you know what to do with it?
I'd probably chop it into small pieces and fry it.
I just made it up. But the body somehow has lost its ability to use certain frequencies. So there's missing frequencies, and they're frequencies that are overabundant and show too high in the voice. But you have to be careful too. If you have a frequency of never aging or anti-aging and it's high, do you want to get rid of it? Probably not. And if your mercury is too low, you probably don't want to stimulate that. And that's why we do tone trials with people to see how their body responds to certain frequencies or certain musics. Have you ever gone to a party and there's just somebody's energy there you can't stand? They probably have too much of what you have too much of.
Yeah. Or do you have this is a really interesting subject. Like you were talking about teenagers many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you would have this teenager who was absorbing your energy. And at some point they've got enough of your energy. They've literally had enough. And, they start emitting this frequency as well. And you can't stand them. They got to get out of the house.
Oh, we were talking about recalcitrant teenagers that often build up too much of one of the parental, units. Build up too much of their note, and it forces them out of the house because they just can't stand each other. There's too much of the same energy going on in the house. And then after they get away, you know, a couple of years, they're okay. But sometimes that pushing out of the house is before they're ready to go out into the world. So the social stuff of what's going on along with the vocal print really can help solve a lot of problems. We even have software for people, couples who are having trouble, or what kind of partner are you really looking for? It's called Perfect Mate. And they can go talk about, I want this kind of mate with these kind of traits, and it'll tell whether they're lying or not, or whether or not they are this kind of person and they have this to offer. The more harmonious your vocal print with equal notes, the more healthy you are and the more truth you are telling. D sharp, is that an important note to you?
What's that, E flat? Musically, I don't use much D sharp. What's that in, that's the, well, it's in the key of A, isn't it? A major. Interesting. Yeah. So tell me more about D sharp.
It just seems to be an energy coming from you. It's usually, guitar music. It's, management with a gentleness at the same time. It's somebody that uses information and shares information easily. They gather and reorganize information and then pass it along to other people in a spiritual way.
So that's D sharp. Now, if somebody's here who's got D sharp as well, does that mean that we're not going to get on eventually? And how do we mitigate those?
Depends on your brain dominance. If both of you have D sharp missing, you'll probably not get along very well. You'll find the other person irritating. But if one's left brain and one's right brain, then you will be drawn to each other because you fill each other. Left brain and right brain people see color opposites. I can't prove it. I just see it happen too many times. That if you have A missing and I give you A and you hate it and that's what you had missing, you probably are right brain and you need the opposite, which would be D sharp. And if it's like homeopathic and allopathic medicine.
Yeah.
With homeopathic, you give more of what you already have. So there's conventions that we teach people in class of how to give people back a formula. But ask people their favorite song and probably the notes in there, especially the ones that run little trickles up your back or down your spine. There are certain notes that really resonate with some people, and they have to have, give a little kid a piano and they'll punk on the same note again and again.
So or they'll love, yes.
And, or they'll love one color and not the other. So humans are busy and they're somewhat lazy. And I think at some time we could do this all for ourselves. But now we've computerized it all based on what we found over these past 20 some years. And I cheat. I use my ears sometimes when we're stuck to see where that's going. So, I just wanted to computerize it to pass it on to people because, well, maybe I don't want to say this. I'm not going to be here forever. If we do all this anti-aging stuff, maybe we can be here for.
That's what, would be a great thing.
Well, we have an anti-aging one called regeneration, rejuvenation, and it has all the frequencies for telomerase and stem cells and teeth whitening and get rid of the dark circles around your eyes and all the things people see as aging. We even have a crepey skin that we just did, where older people are really concerned about their skin kind of look like crepe paper. So jump on the site and look at all 200. And this is the awesome part of this. When you first put your voice in, you can go look at what the computer says you need, and it'll put it in priority for you, whether it's structural or your heart or your eyes or your teeth or pathogens or whatever. And there's different architectures for different things that we teach people. Like pathogen architectures are a sort of a bridge-like arch. Maybe you see a Chinese bridge that's very arched. If you have one of those in your voice, it's usually a pathogen. And if it's a stealth pathogen, it's going to come back again and again, and you're going to see that same architecture in the vocal print through, we look at 0 to, I think, 1,024 or something like that. And you look at the architecture as well as the frequency. We look at the frequency for what's going on in the brain, and we look at the rhythm for what's going on in the heart, and we put those two things together, and people's disease go away. We just did a whole study on people who had sores and they wouldn't heal on their skin and their hair and everywhere, and the doctors were saying it's just incurable. We don't know what it is. We found out they have a problem processing IgE, immunoglobulin E, and histamines. It's a genetic issue with histamines. And in all three cases, the sores have cleared up just by using the frequency of this genetic histamine.
Oh, that's a very fascinating thing. So, now, when you talk about architecture, you're talking about when you look at the actual, spectral analysis and you see that it's got like arches and bridges in it and things like that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, look at what we just sent you for Elton John.
Yeah, and that's available on the website there, Ever Beyond Radio, under today's show notes. You can download this and look at this print, which has got Elton's literal vocal print with some dots on it.
And it scribbles all over in turquoise little circles. So this is a program that I developed, and just because of my ears, we were able to hone it. It doesn't look like any other spectrograph that's usually three-dimensional that people are using. This is our proprietary information. So that's what we teach people. And there is a thumb drive. If people want to do this on their own, they can go to soundhealthoptions.com and go to two-day class, and it says download the thumb drive. And there's the programs and the information right there for you to do this on your own. So we want everybody to have it.
So say that again, how to get this program.
I got the hiccups. Go to soundhealthoptions.com. Go to classes, two-day class, and there it says download the thumb drive. And it's got articles, everything they're going to need for class. It's got links to software. And if they want the nano voice, just instead of classes, go to downloads. They can download it there. And I just thought of this. There's a chart there that shows the frequency relationships of astrology and bioacoustics, and also the relationship between music and bioacoustics. So we try to make this complete enough information that people can open a bioacoustic center. And we just hired a marketing person to help people. We have case study classes. We have a Facebook page where people can ask questions. We want people to do this on their own. We are too busy doing all of the research to stop and teach people every time what's going on. So we're giving it away. And if you have trouble, you can get in touch. Or there's a lot of tutorials there. On the nano page, click that purple triangle, and all of the tutorials are there. The tutorials are much more complete on the portal. You have to be very independently minded to use the portal. But you put in a voice, stick a microphone in somebody's face and put in a voice and say, analyze this and pull the points and grade it against a nutrition program and tell me what I need, and it'll plop out a report. You know, people say to me, if this is free, there must be something wrong with it. For anybody who's taken this course, this is chock full of information and software. And I'm doing it because I'm ticked off. You know those EpiPens that they cost about $6 to make, and they were about $60, and they upped it to $700 and something? That's taking advantage. EpiPens are life-dependent. Your kid gets peanuts or peanut butter or something, and they're going to die and because they can't breathe, and they're going to charge you $700 for an EpiPen that runs out in 3 months, and they charge all the schools. It ticked me off. We found a frequency that can do what an EpiPen can do, but I'm afraid to release it because I'm afraid that whoever's making those is going to come after me and want to buy it, and then the first thing they're going to do is put it on the shelf. No, this belongs to the people. Exactly. These frequencies belong to the people. I'm just too ticked off. They did the same thing with the Narcan. Narcan used to be expensive, $400 or something, and now it's like thousands, one Narcan injection. That's crazy. And I'm just tired of feeding people who don't care about whether or not we're healthy or not. People who control the health control your quality of life. And I want to put that back in your hands.
And certainly on people's laptops and Androids.
Yes.
Yes. Will there be, I mean, this is the dream really, isn't it? Now, I mean, when I met you in 1995, we were, you know, just looking at the beginnings of what you could do with software. And now everybody's got an Android. You know, you can pick one up for less than $30 if you want. Is there anybody out there who's working on the thing? And the thing was that you would talk in the morning, it would take a vocal print, It would give you the frequency that you needed for that day. It would show up as a color. It would change the background of your mobile phone. It would change, it would be the frequency of the ringtone. Is anybody working? Have you got anybody working on that yet? Or is there anybody out there who wants to do this kind of thing, who can do this kind of thing? Programmers?
It's not quite all the way there, but if we go to Sound Health Options, on the front page is that little nano voice, and they can download it right into their phone. Now, they have to have something like Recorder the app if they're going to record their voice and give it back to us. But the little nano voice, they can read it and use it, play with it right on their phone. Most of the problem is that the microphones on phones are just not accurate enough. But there are a few listed on the portal that can be used, and one of them is the Meteorite mic with a cable, an extra cable that'll fit in your phone, and I think that's listed on our site. They can use the Meteorite mic. It's from Samson. We've tested a lot of them, and a lot of them are just junk. They don't have all of the range that's needed. They have like from F sharp to G, and they sort of cheat and break it up so your voice sounds different. But garbage in, garbage out. If you don't have the right mic, you're not going to get an accurate reading of what is happening. We are trying hard to get the rest of it. It's just a matter of money. We don't have enough money to do everything that we need, and it's because I insist on giving things away, and it's just kind of crazy. If people want to take this course, we have scholarships. If they're going to be in an area or open a center in an area, there's matching scholarships for them. So if they really want to get involved, they certainly can. It takes some time, but free is a good price.
Best price ever. Shari Edwards, it's been a fabulous 2 hours, as always, and I hope we've got lots of fabulous information. And really, what I'd like to, you know, what my aim is to inspire more people to take on the course, to do the course, and to become practitioners themselves.
Absolutely. They are so needed. We don't have enough people. There's enough sick people to go around. There's too many sick people. We've gotten this far with being poisoned, and now there's a lot of work to undo the damage.
Right. We've got to.
Are we about to end?
We are about to end. So final notes, final words.
SoundHealthOptions.com, SoundHealthPortal.com, and remember that there's nothing bad or good in your voice. It's what you can do about it that makes the difference, and that's why we're here.
Fabulous. We're all about solutions. Thank you very much, Shari Edwards. This is Ever Beyond Radio.